Blog Talk Radio.
How do we know this is Babylon? Psalms 137. I'm going to read it. This place was known for the slaves, slave ships, boats. The children of Israel were singing songs and being whipped and beaten in this particular land. So, let me read. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. Yeah. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. Willows are willow trees. Where do willow trees grow? Here in America, in the South. They didn't even grow in ancient Babylon. The willow tree's name in the Latin is the Babylonicus. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. So when we were whipped and beat, we used to go under the willow trees and cry during slavery. Third verse. For there they that carried us away, captives, required of us a song. So this is talking about by the rivers of Babylon now. They required of us a song. That's where you get your Negro spirituals at. Okay? When the captives were enslaved during the time of slavery, they wasn't singing about Africa. The slaves were singing about Zion. Over the river Jordan, let my people go. These people knew that they were the children of Israel. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of those songs of Zion. That's Negro spirituals. 4. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? What strange land? By the rivers of Babylon. Yeah, they named it America. But the Most High called this land an extension of Babylon. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? It reads in the fourth verse. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. So David said, listen, he would rather not even know anything to forget the ease of Israel. He told the Most High, please never let me forget that we're Israel, that I'm from Zion. And our people don't even care. The seventh verse. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. Edom is a pure blood Caucasian who was behind bringing us here to Babylon to serve. You will never find the word America in the Bible, but you know America is written because it's the most evil and wicked empire in all existence. So you mean to tell me the Most High wrote about Egypt, Babylon, Sodom and Gomorrah, and all the evils placed in the earth, but forgot America? America is Babylon the Great. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall utterly be burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. The Most High has put his spirit on these other countries to take her out through war. And all the other nations know it. The government know it. The bank systems, they realize it. They know prophecy. So what they're doing, they're mobilizing to move their money into the other countries, over in Europe and Africa and all these other places you see Barack Obama going. He's been to Ghana twice already, knowing that this place is about to go. The ninth verse. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. So while they're teaching you prosperity, that everything is going to be all right, that you're going to be floating up into a cloud, which is nowhere in the scriptures before Christ come back. While they're teaching you all this madness in these philosophical schools they call churches, the Most High's prophecies are coming to pass. It's coming to pass before our eyes. You can see it. And you know it's going to happen. But Satan have what you would call a spell on the people through religion. So the Most High have awakened his elect in the last days to warn the people. Zechariah, the second chapter in your Bible, the fifth verse. For I say of the Lord will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory for the midst of her. Ho, ho. Come forth and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord. We didn't say this, the Lord said this. For I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heaven, saith the Lord. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. So is this ancient Babylon? No. This is the modern day daughter of ancient Babylon. And we're in the north. The Most High say we must flee her before the destruction comes. If we don't flee her, we'll get the plagues that are coming. In Revelation 18, where it says she shall be utterly burned with fire. The 8th verse. Okay? There's more, but if you want to know more, you can always go to our website.
Shabbat Shalom, Barakatah, Makawada, peaceful Sabbath, bless you all. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Friday Night Sabbath coming out of Babylon here from the Gathering Christ Church, where we connect the dots of our reality and current events with the Word of God and Bible prophecy. I'm your host, Brother and Elder Lamar Karab. It is 7:28 p.m. Central Standard Time, February 24th, 2023, and I pray you brothers and sisters out there are doing well this evening, that you've had a blessed week, and that as your Sabbath has begun or is beginning, that you also have a blessed Sabbath. When I give all praise to the Most High God, the Godhead, the Alahayim, the Elohim, for being here on this Sabbath evening. And for this broadcast, so all praise, honor, and glory to the Heavenly Father, whose name in the Hebrew is Ahayah, the Son in the Hebrew, where the world calls Jesus Christ, his name is Yeshaya in the Hebrew, and we have the Holy Spirit, which is Ruach in the Hebrew, okay? Definitely giving all praise, honor, and glory for, you know, the mercy and grace that has been bestowed upon us to be here to partake in this weekly Sabbath, which begins Friday night, sundown, and goes until Saturday night, sundown, as well as being here for another episode, another stream, another broadcast, Friday night Sabbath coming out of Babylon. It's always a pleasure and my, you know, deepest gratitude to be here before you brothers and sisters, the family, to be able to present whatever the information is that the Holy Spirit would, you know, pour out upon all flesh this evening when it comes to, you know, news, current events, Bible prophecy, things that are happening real time in our reality that maybe the mainstream isn't talking about. Maybe your family or friends are not talking about any of these particular topics. They're talking about, you know, other things we're going to get into, other things that we might consider to be distractions. Okay, versus what we really mainly should be discussing and talking about. All right, so definitely looking forward to presenting information to you all this evening. I definitely, you know, forgive me before we get started. I'm a little bit dealing with some sinus allergies. You know, this weather's back and forth. You know, one day it feels like it's summer, the next day it feels like it's winter. And so, you know, no telling what's going on with the frequencies in the air. But nonetheless, it has my sinuses a little, you know, congested and draining. So from time to time, I may need to, you know, step away and blow my nose so that I can be able to speak and not be a mess here on the broadcast tonight. But, you know, not enough to keep me from not being here. It's just a little touch of something. And, of course, I have my tea here. been on my CMOS and vitamins. You know, I take those things regularly, as well as other supplements to make sure that I'm keeping my body and my health, you know, strong and healthy. All right. But let me go ahead and get into tonight's title. Tonight's title, we have here 2023, the year of the perma crisis. 2023, the year of the perma crisis. Now, somebody might say, well, hey, Elder, hold up. That's the same title from last broadcast. Well, let me show you. Last broadcast we had 2023, the year of the poly crisis. So very, very similar titles, terminology somewhat different, mainly around the words poly crisis and perma crisis. So this is really like a redux or a part two of what we spoke about last broadcast. And for those of you out there who you know, tuned in to the last broadcast we did, you should be somewhat familiar with some of this terminology, as well as maybe have some sort of insight to what we're going to be talking about tonight. All right, so just wanted to get the title there real quick for you all. So stay tuned, and we'll go into the information here as we go through some announcements. All right, so again, we are streaming live Friday Night Sabbath coming out of Babylon on twitch.tv this evening, twitch.tv/GOCC Southwest. Okay, also multicasting through Blog Talk, the guest call-in number if you would like to call in. If you have something you would like to say, I will check the call lines periodically. The guest call-in number is 515-605-9327, 515-605-9327. If you would like to speak, press 1. And, hey, a lot of things going on. Maybe some of the things we're going to talk about tonight, maybe it's happening in your neck of the woods. Maybe there are things happening in your neck of the woods that we're not talking about that you feel like is important for us to know. Call in, share that stuff with us tonight so we can hear, you know, real time from those locally in your respective locations and what may be going on that maybe needs to be covered. Okay. So we also have our main channel, our hub broadcast, GOCC Southwest on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe, GOCC Southwest on YouTube. That way you'll know from week in and week out where we're going to be. You'll be up to date with you know, anything related to this particular broadcast, as well as things pertaining to the Gathering Christ Church. And we also have our backup channel. After a week, this video will not be here. Twitch removes the live stream off their server after 7 days. So you will have to go to our Odyssey channel, Odyssey, GOCC Southwest on Odyssey. You can go under the About section here on Twitch or the About section on GOCC Southwest on YouTube, and it will show you our Odyssey link. Click on that. It'll take you straight to all of our past broadcasts. They're all there, archived, as well as the references, whatever we go into tonight, videos, articles, you know, so on and so forth. You will be able to have access to that in the description of the archived videos, okay? And we also have GOCC Media, where we have been doing our GOCC Fit, all things fitness and nutrition. Okay, and so we should be back there this coming Friday for GOCC Fit. And I believe the last thing we spoke about was vitamin D. Vitamin D. So doing vitamins A through Z right now. So we should be looking at vitamin E this coming Friday, if it be the Lord's will. All right. So that is it for this particular ministry and what we do on Friday nights. We also have the Gathering of Christ Church main YouTube, A Gathering 144, backup GOCC NYC. Make sure you subscribe to those. You can keep up to date day in and day out with all the things that are going on with the Gathering of Christ Church, as well as our website, gatheringofchrist.org, where you can find everything from the Hebrew calendar to our resources and what we use for resources, GOCC network, you know, small businesses, entrepreneurs who are serving products and services within our community, whether you're looking to support or you're looking to become a part and showcase your business there, gatheringofchrist.org. Make sure that you have that maybe even as your homepage for whenever you open up the internet. You already have the church's website pop up, and you can always stay up to date with all the things going on with the Gathering of Christ Church. Okay. And Hebrew and Bible Academy, we are coming to the end. I believe last week was the last week of the Hebrew and Bible Academy. So I believe if it's not this coming week, it will be the following week, Hebrew and Bible Academy. So if you're interested in joining, enrolling, you want to learn more about it, historytimes.org, historytimes.org. Definitely new lessons coming in, you know, every session that the Hebrew and Bible Academy happens. And, you know, I just recently got done watching a newer one that I believe was the first time being taught in the Academy, which was on Sodom and Gomorrah. Definitely very, you know, deep understanding when it comes to things going on, you know, in the past and presently with the present day Sodom and Gomorrah, both, you know, the land that once was inhabited and is desolate now with no one being able to inhabit there now, as well as the modern day Babylon, Sodom and Gomorrah in America. All right, drawing the parallel, showing how America is now taking on that spirit as the modern day Sodom and Gomorrah. So, you know, I believe this particular session of the Hebrew and Bible Academy is going to be dealing with spiritual warfare. A lot of things dealing with, you know, fighting against the principalities that are coming against us and all the different, you know, ways and how it's happening, you know, sorcery and all that type of stuff. So definitely want to get enrolled and be a part of this because it'll be, you know, new lessons being taught that have never been taught in any other academy up until now. All right. So I believe that is it. And so let's go ahead and make sure everything's good, and we'll go right into the information for tonight. So 1 second here, and I'll get you all the title once again. Title, 2023, the year of the perma crisis. 2023, the year of the perma crisis. And before we go here, I want to go back to where we left off with our last broadcast, 2023, the year of the poly crisis, and what we discussed. Okay, what we learned is that a poly crisis was the word of the hour at the Davos 2023, and that they told us that this year would spark off the term that they coined in poly crisis. What is a poly crisis? Well, poly means many. Crisis means a catastrophe. So basically what they said, that many catastrophes were going to happen in 2023, and that they're looking at a two-year timetable between now and 2025, which puts us at the beginning of the next administration, whether or not the Democrats will be remain in power, or there'll be a change in with the Republicans coming in, or maybe something even different than that. Maybe no one is necessarily declared president, and we go into a civil war. Who knows? These are things we talked about, the shattered union, right? So, but with the poly crisis, you're talking about many catastrophical events happening at once. That's what a poly crisis is. So now that we're coming into tonight's stream, segueing off of last stream, this is a redux or a part two, 2023, the year of the perma crisis. And as you can see here on your screen, you see the definition of what a perma crisis is. It is an extended period of instability and insecurity. Okay. So multiple catastrophes happening for a significant extended period of time. And before I go into, give me 1 second and see where I want to start, because, I mean, there's so much we're going to talk about tonight. So much. Let's go ahead and we will deal with this term, permacrisis. Permacrisis. And I have a video here for you all. Okay, so what we have here is the media, Gravitas, speaking on this word of the year, which was coined, within the past year or so, Perma Crisis. Now let's go over to theconversation.com real quick. And it says here, permacrisis, what it means and why it's word of the year for 2022. So this became the word of the year for 2022. And they're saying now 2023 is the year of this word. Interesting that they would come up with this word a year in advance to the year that they said that this would now be the word that would now be used to describe this year that hasn't completed yet. So somehow they know something, you know, way in advance to what's going to happen. We're going to talk about their ability to, and how are they so prophetic, it may seem to some. How are they able to know things before they happen? How do they come up with this word in 2022? And then at the beginning of 2023, say this is the year of this word that we came up with in 2022. It says here, the Collins Dictionary's word of the year for 2022 is permacrisis. As accolades go, the managing director of Collins Learning, Alex Beercroft, has said that this one sums up quite succinctly how truly awful 2022 has been for so many people. Like the lady just said, you know, we're coming off the heels of the COVID-19 pandemic, and we go right into a war, so-called, with Russia and Ukraine. It says here, the word most widely understood as a portmanteau of permanent and crisis has been in use for a little longer. In April 2021, policy analysts in Europe saw it as defining the era in which we live. Some in Britain inevitably ascribe the genesis of the era to Brexit. Others point to the pandemic. For others still, it was Russia's invasion of Ukraine that made the word indispensable. As the writer David Sharitmadari has put it, permacrisis is a term that perfectly embodies the dizzying sense of lurching from one unprecedented event to another, as we wonder bleakly what new horrors might be around the corner. Okay, you have a tweet here, an energy crisis is an everything crisis, so if another crisis to throw in there, when we're talking about energy, our power grid, now, I'm fast-forwarding some through this article. It says a new realism. This concept of permacrisis has its roots in contemporary systems theory, which claims that a crisis can become so complicated that we can't predict its outcome. In this regard, in his 2008 book on complexity, French philosopher Edgar Morin argues that humanity now resides within a network of interlocking systems, and any crisis in one of those systems will engender a crisis in all the others. Morin uses the word polycrisis to describe the situation. It is an idea that is also used in historian Adam Tooze's work on crisis and disaster. As Tooze recently put it, when considering the sheer accumulation of problems the world currently faces, from conflict and the climate crisis to the pandemic and rising inflation, the whole is even more dangerous than the sum of the parts. Interconnected microsystems, because of ever-shortening positive feedback loops, can very quickly trigger crisis, even catastrophe, in the wider macro system. Taking this one step further, the shift from polycrisis to permacrisis implies that we now see our crises as situations that can only be managed, not resolved. Okay, so they're saying that these events now are unresolvable. They can only be managed, meaning that it becomes permanent. Okay, COVID-19 becomes now a permanent pandemic. They may tell you it's over, only to bring it back later and tell you it never ended. It says, indeed, permacrisis suggests that every decision to accelerate a difficult situation in order to come out on the other side of it risks something far worse. Okay, it says, take the recent demise in the UK of the Truss administration. The decision to resolve an economic crisis only heightened a self-defeating political crisis, which then very rapidly further compounded the original economic crisis. Permacrisis signals not only a loss of faith in progress, but also a new realism, which we've heard the term new normal, but here they're saying a new realism in relation to what people can cope with and achieve. Our crises have become so complex and deep-seated that they can transcend our capacity to understand them. Any decision to tackle them risks only making things worse. We are thus faced with a troubling conclusion. Our crises are no longer a problem. They are a stubborn fact. So this is what mainstream media would have us believe, that the permanent crisis is reality now. We just have to deal with the fact that the world is in a state of crisis. It's permanent, and we can only manage these crises. They can't be solved. Okay? So through their, you know, different forms of media, all right, this is what they now want us to believe. And what I want to do now, because I did do this at the end of last broadcast, is I went into some scriptures to talk about these particular terms, polycrisis and permacrisis. And just to give a summary, because I'm going to not go through every scripture I went through last time, but we went through Matthew 24. The disciples asked Christ, "What shall be the signs of thy coming?" And he gave them a list of signs that to expect to be happening in the earth before his arrival: earthquakes in diverse places, wars and rumors of wars, plagues, pestilence, okay? And another sign he gave was, take heed that no man deceive you. So deception would be another sign that there would be a narrative or a reality being shaped or formed that isn't necessarily the real reality. You're being told something is happening that's not really happening. And so a lot of these events, though some may be true, some may not be, or they may be fabricated. Okay, they're saying, well, there's a war in Ukraine, for instance. Well, there are different kinds of war. All right, so we're not saying that there's not a war in Ukraine, but is it the war, and is it happening the way that they're telling us it's happening? right? So that's what we really have to take note of. There's a such thing called psychological warfare, which is one of the biggest parts of warfare. So the war in Ukraine, could it mainly be just psychological warfare on the citizens of the earth, more so than it is an actual military conflict type warfare, right? So Christ warned about this. They're calling it a polycrisis or a permacrisis, but Christ called it signs, okay? He told us to expect these signs, and the, what would come with these, the signs is deception. And if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. So what we're here for you, brothers and sisters, tonight is to cut through the lies, to cut through the deception and give you a clear lens to be able to see this clearly, what's going on, what's happening, according to the Bible, according to the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, to allow us to discern, okay, to not be deceived by man. Then we went to 2 Ezra 16, right? In 2 Ezra 16, Ezra, he also spoke about the signs. And it was the same signs that Christ spoke about in Matthew 24. All right? Right? So, woe is me, woe is me, right? Who will survive these times? Right, so that was what Ezra's seen. He's seen these catastrophes happening. And one thing that isn't necessarily directly just said, you know, just verbatim, is could these particular events be man-made? Yeah, the, you know, you're looking at, you know, earthquakes and plagues and different things happening, but could these things be generated at the hands of man, whether it's being generated in the media, and being told that these things are happening that may not be happening, or could they be happening like earthquakes or natural disasters? And that could be actually caused by man and not just some random event that happened. Okay, because remember, with these signs comes deception. And then we went to the apocalypse of Baruch. So I want to go back and read the apocalypse Baruch, because again, Christ spoke about these signs. Ezra spoke about these signs. Let's see what Baruch said about these signs in Baruch, second Baruch, or the apocalypse of Baruch. What did he have to say about identifying these signs? All right, so let me fast forward here, get to where we're trying to get. And I'm just laying this out. We're not going to spend a lot of time here, but I just want to lay it out to start out with as we go into it. So we're in Apocalypse of Baruch, chapter 26, verse 1, and it says, "And I answered and said, will that tribulation, which is to be, continue a long time?" Speaking of the tribulation that Christ spoke about, he said that it'll be, you know, tribulation that the world has never seen before. And will that necessity embrace many years? So we talked about the permacrisis, right? Meaning a permanent crisis. Baruch is asking, is this going to continue for a long time? And will it continue many years? Chapter 27. It says, "And he answered and said unto me, into 12 parts is that time divided, and each one of them is reserved for that which is appointed for it." So whereas Christ and Ezra identified them as signs, Baruch is being told and being described to them as parts, in particular, 12 parts being divided and appointed and reserved for each specific time, right? And don't worry, we're going to explain that as we go through these verses here. Verse 2 says, "In the first part, there will be the beginning of commotions." chaos, beginning of chaos, right? And the second part, there will be slaying of the great ones, famous men, famous women dying, being slayed. Verse 4, in the third part, there will be the fall of many by death, sudden death. Okay, many just falling and dying. We have, you know, we can definitely identify that right now, real time in our reality. Many people just falling out and dying. Unexplained death, right? Strong, healthy, in their prime, athletes just dropping dead like flies. Verse 5, and in the fourth part, the sending of desolation, sending of destruction. 6, the fifth part, famine and the withholding of rain. We talked about it, the food shortage, right? Right now, a lot of talk about the egg shortage. The president-elect, Joey B, came out and said, expect a food shortage. We're seeing our shelves limited with food, or the cost of food has risen, which also causes a famine because you can't now afford the food, so you're without food. You're famished. Okay, and the withholding of rain. So lots of drought, different areas. We see the fires in California and things like that, places where, you know, the aquifers are dried up and there's no water. The verse 7 and the sixth part, earthquakes and terrors. So we saw the earthquake in Turkey where buildings were falling out real time during this earthquake. People were in terror, running for their lives. Okay. And which maybe only lasted, you know, a matter of seconds, felt like eternity. Verse 8, wanting, meaning that you will have the desire to be a necessity of needing something and in want and not having it. Which is a famine also. Verse 9, and in the eighth part, a multitude of portents and incursions of the Shadim, the attacks of the specters and the Shittim. When you go to Revelation 18, it says Babylon the Great has fallen and become the habitation of devils. So because now they've opened up CERN, okay, Revelation 9:11, Abaddon, the angel with the key to the bottomless pit, has opened up the gates of hell. America has now fully come out as a satanic country worshiping Satan. And now you have a culture and a place that's totally inhabited by demons, demonic possession. All right, people wilding out, losing their minds. You're seeing more and more people walking around with no clothes on, naked. Okay, I seen a guy in the street. He was naked running through the streets, ripping bumpers off of cars with looked like Hulk, Incredible Hulk. Like, who has this type of power to be ripping bumpers off of cars? Okay, demonic possession. Okay, probably full of that juice. That COVID juice coming out that syringe. Verse 10, and then the ninth part, the fall of fire, okay, military warfare, dropping nuclear bombs. All right, Sodom and Gomorrah was judged how? With fire and brimstone. Volcanoes erupting and fire coming out the sky. All these types of instances. Verse 11, and in the 10th part, rapine and much oppression, okay? Inflation. Now, through inflation, you can't afford to pay your rent. You can't afford to buy groceries. You can't afford to buy fuel for your car so that you can drive to work, okay? Oppressed on every side. More and more taxes. more and more laws, more and more things that would keep you in a state of not being able to thrive. Verse 12, and the 11th part, wickedness and unchastity. We saw at the Grammys, you had the sodomite, I forget his name. He was dressed up as Satan. He had trannies running all around him, looking like women, all type of artificial, surgeries and fake bodies, running around on, cages and red lighting and just total wickedness and unchastity. Okay, sodomy, pedophilia. Verse 13, and in the 12th part, confusion from the mingling together of all these things for said. So then at some point, all these particular crises or catastrophes now get mingled together and cause even more confusion with the chaos. Right? More confusion to go with the chaos. Verse 14. For these parts of that time are reserved and will be mixed one with another and will minister one to another. Hence your perma crisis. Okay. They will mix together and minister one to another, one after the other, continuously, permanently. The reason why Ezra said, woe is me, woe is me. Right? Is there any end in sight to this chaos? Is there any insight to this catastrophe? Verse 15. For some will of themselves be of service, and they will receive from others, and from themselves and others they will be perfected, so that those may not understand who were upon the earth in those days of this consummation of the times. This consummation of the time. So now you have the world in a confused state, not knowing that this is the end of the world, not knowing that this is Bible prophecy. People who know and who have heard about Bible prophecy are confused and still don't understand. They're not thinking to the fact that, yeah, this is what the Bible speaks about, because they don't want to understand. Because if this is what the Bible speaks about, guess what? That means this world's coming to an end. And their love of the world is more and greater than their love of the Creator. Okay, so because their love of the world is more, they are in a confused state. And you're looking at them dumbfounded and trying to figure out why they can't get it together and figure it out. Even when you explain it to them, it's like you're speaking in Chinese. You're speaking in Charlie Brown grown-up language to them, and they got their head tilted sideways trying to figure out, what are you talking about? It doesn't make sense to them what you're talking about. But I want to deal with the confusion. Okay, we already see the mingling and the ministering, okay, them being of service one to the other, receiving one. So you have an earthquake, and as soon as you have an earthquake, you'll have a tsunami. And after you have a tsunami, you'll have a hurricane come through. And then after you have a hurricane, a volcano goes off, right? They're all receiving one or the other and working together for destruction. And let's deal with the confusion now. Because remember, Christ said, take heed that no man deceive you. So part of that confusion is people being deceived by what they're looking at on TV, what other people are telling them, maybe what their pastors are telling them. So let's go over here to, I talked about this a little bit last broadcast. Before we go into the polycrisis and the permacrisis that are happening real time as we speak, here on Natural News, Sky Wars. Fake alien invasion psyop being tested on suggestible Americans. Okay, so again, Christ said, take heed that no man deceive you. We talked about there are different types of warfare. The main parts of their warfare is psychological. Let them deceive the mind, and they can get you to do whatever they want you to do and move you any way they want you to move. One thing I told people was, and you know, us elders of the church, don't get caught up in this alien crap. Because when you read and understand the Bible, understanding that there is no such thing as aliens, as they tell us, aliens, these little green or gray men running around with big heads and big eyes, doesn't exist. Coming from other planets or other solar systems. What you have are angelic beings, okay, which in the Hebrew, the ancient, Elohim, which is where the word alien comes from. This means foreign, foreigner. Okay, they're foreign to our world because they are not terrestrial beings. They are celestial beings. But they're using this, and I'm not going to go into all the different reasons because we're probably going to do a broadcast just specifically on this particular topic because I have a video I've been checking out of a retired FBI, former FBI investigator who's saying that they're about to play the fake alien invasion card, all right? But the point I'm bringing this out for is that while they have us looking up at the sky and focusing on balloons and UFOs, you know, tell me, I don't know how a alien, according to their science of aliens, are traveling light years away with that type of sophisticated technology. Here it is. We can't even get to the moon again, if you ever want to believe that we ever went in the first place, right? We can't even get to the moon again. We should have moon colonies by now. We got there in 69 with the technology we have today, right? But these beings who have far superior technology to travel light years away to get here only to get shot down. Does that make sense to you? That this world's primitive weapons are able to shoot down these sophisticated, you know, intergalactic beings that are traveling light years away only to get shot down. So there's a lot working here, but the main thing I want to focus on in this moment is not to get focused on what's going on up in the skies, because while you're looking up, there'll be things happening real time on the ground. So while there's real things happening in and around us here, they got you looking up at something that doesn't exist according to their narrative, which you're distracted. Take heed that no man deceive you. All right? And I'm not going to go through this this article because it's pretty much saying what I'm telling you, that they are saying that they're, you know, shooting down alien UFO craft. All right. At the same time, all this is happening over America. They're shooting all this down in America, nowhere else. America's shooting these things down. America has balloons, spy balloons. Now, one thing I did want to share with you all, right, one thing I did want to share. We talk a lot about the Illuminati card game, right? So here we have it. There's a flying saucer as a flying saucer card. It says, this vehicle was found buried in a cornfield in Idaho. It will take a small number of people anywhere in the world undetectably within an hour. Alien abduction. So when we understand what aliens really are, right, they're two different kinds, right? You have demons, and Baruch identified the specters and the Shadim. All right? And you also have the righteous angels, the heavenly hosts. But we're talking about abduction, all right? Demon possession, attacks of the specters and the Shadim. If you're going to talk about anything on the level of aliens, which you should be talking about, not green men and flying saucers, okay? But this is a card they have here. They also have another card. Check this one out. Church of Middle America. And you have flying saucers all around the church. What is this? What are they showing us here with these flying saucers flying around the church? It says they'll never get it, even when the saucers are flying overhead. So they're telling you you're not going to get it or understand. The elect will understand, right? But the sheep, the wicked, they're not going to understand. They're going to fall right in line with the narrative. But what is this parallel they're drawing with the church? Well, if we're able to do a broadcast on this, then we'll go into the parallels here and why they're tying this into a church. It says here, any subgroup that controls the church gets the power. I'll have to get a different card that has a little better, you know, not the blurry writing there. But nonetheless, so the Illuminati card game showed us this, pretty much, deception. Now check out what they showed us will be happening at the time that they would start to now introduce us to aliens and UFOs and come out and just make these claims. At the same time, they have a card titled Foreign Aid. So right now, real time, who is receiving billions and billions of dollars of foreign aid? Ukraine? Anybody? Right? And you have aliens. So at the same time that they will start to introduce us to the UFOs, it'll be a time that they're giving out all this money. And of course, there it's a play on words, because we know alien means foreign. So at the same time they're saying foreign aid, they give you a picture of an alien to subliminally show you at the same time that they're going to introduce us to these UFOs and aliens in their media. Remember, right? Operation Mockingbird, we proved that the CIA and military run our media. So you're not getting news. You're getting programming. But at the same time that they're introducing these UFOs, they're giving out foreign aid to Ukraine. All right. So I just wanted to share, you know, these particular points real quick. So as we go into information, you don't get caught up in the confusion of being distracted and diverted to what we really should be focused on. And this, going back to Baruch now, Apocalypse of Baruch, now when we jump up to chapter 25, it says, and he answered and said unto me, thou too shalt be kept safely till that time, till that sign which the Most High will work for the inhabitants of the earth in the end of days. This therefore will be the sign. Okay, these are signs. They call them poly and permacrisis. These are signs. Here's the sign. Three, when a stupor shall seize the inhabitants of the earth, and they shall fall into many tribulations, and they shall, and again, when they shall fall into great torment. So again, while they got you looking up at the sky in a stupor, searching for flying saucers, there's real events happening on the ground and that you don't know anything about, right? Because you've been deceived by man. Instead of looking at the signs that Christ, okay, we just read the 12 parts. Nothing in the 12 parts said look out for unidentified flying objects or aliens coming from other planets. None of that's in scripture. Okay, it told us what to look for. But for those who are looking elsewhere, will be caught in a stupor, confusion. And check it out, what happens now? Now that they're in their confusion and they're distracted, not paying attention to what they should be focused on, resolving real time in their area, this is what's going to happen to them, because it says they shall fall into torments now. Because you didn't pay attention to what the prophet said and what you should have been paying attention to, and you were distracted, now you're going to fall into torments. Okay, you're going to fall into some extreme, severe hardships, because it's going to creep upon you like a thief in the night and overtake you. Verse 4 says, and it will come to pass when they shall say in their thoughts, by reason of their much tribulation, because they didn't listen, they didn't understand the signs. It says, the mighty one doeth no longer remember the earth. Yea, it will come to pass when they abandon hope that the time will then awake. And so this is what the devil wants. Okay, he wants to lead you to the edge of the cliff while looking up at the sky. Okay, for you to fall over the cliff. And as you're falling down, you're seeing your life pass before your eyes and the destruction coming. And say, oh, the Most High God must have forgot about me because he led me over a cliff. No, you got distracted and you led yourself over the cliff. Okay, people were screaming at you while you were looking at the sky, walking toward the cliff. They were screaming at you, telling you to stop. Go the other way. And it was a stampede of chaos, commotions, confusion going over the cliff. So those will be those that go over with the herd. Okay, and so people are going to abandon hope because now they've been lured by the devil into a pit of despair. So we, like the scripture says, let us not sleep as others do, discerning the times that the days thereof are evil. The wicked shall do wickedly and shall not understand, but the wise will understand. All right, and so now that leads us into going into signs or these parts. Well, just one last thing before we go into those. I forgot it here. Edward Snowden, how many of you all have seen the Edward Snowden tweet? He said, it's not aliens. I wish it were aliens, but it's not aliens. It's just the old engineered panic and attractive nuisance ensuring NatSec reporters get assigned to investigative balloon crap rather than budgets or bombings a la Nord Stream. Until next time. All right, so listen, I don't know anything about Edward Snowden. He's supposed to be this guy that got asylum in Russia, but I found it interesting, being that he, you know, has the mystique around him as this whistleblower. It's coming out and telling you it's not aliens. It's the old bait and switch. It's fear and panic being engineered so that they can fear you and move you into the next catastrophe, right? In COVID, in 2020, they came out with COVID-19 and steered a lot of people into rolling up their sleeves to get stung by the scorpion, this next venom. All right. So now with this, they're now distracting and getting ready to steer you to the next destructive catastrophe to get you to jump off the cliff. And then that way they can say, hey, I just played the flute. You jumped. I didn't tell you to go over the cliff. Right. They're the Pied Pipers. They just play the flute. You don't got to listen to the flute. Okay, so now we had our 2023, the year of the polycrisis, last broadcast, where we went into the global risk report, where we got some insight from now until 2025, the next 2 years leading up to the beginning of the next administration, where they had a timetable of events that they said they predicted would happen. And there would be catastrophe on top of catastrophe, crisis on top of crisis, and they deemed it the term polycrisis. Now, it's interesting, the timing, because at the same time that, you know, we had brought this broadcast, events, you know, similar to what they spoke of, started to happen exactly in the way that they say these events are going to happen, in a polycrisis, in a permacrisis fashion. So we start with our first event here. And I'm pretty sure most people that are listening know about this already, right? It's hard to have not heard about this if you're paying attention. But on National News here, we have a train carrying toxic chemicals derails and explodes in Ohio. Media blackout ensues while animals die in mass. Okay, for those of you who didn't hear about this, we're going to go into it. But notice how there's a media blackout on this event that many are labeling as the biggest ecological disaster in America's history. The biggest ecological disaster in America's history, and the media has nothing to say. They're talking about the Super Bowl. You know, look at Rihanna. She's pregnant. Is she pregnant? They're talking about UFOs and spy balloons in the sky. So the war in Ukraine, everything but an ecological disaster of biblical proportions in Ohio, and the fact of it happening in a manner that will affect multiple states around it, pretty much the whole northern heart of the U.S. now exposed to this toxic chemical explosion from this train derailing. And look at this, what you would think is a mushroom cloud, a bomb going off. Right? We talked about the cyclone bomb, the weather warfare, right? That form of bomb. And now we have what they initially called an explosion. But we're going to find out it wasn't an explosion, but it looked like an atom bomb. And when you look from space, this is what it looks like from space. Picture of the Ohio chemical cloud taken from a plane that flew overhead. Look at that from space. Look how much atmosphere is now absorbed in this chemical toxic plume. Right? And so, again, I'm not going to read into a lot of the details here in this article. You can read them on your own time because we have a lot to cover. But here's a up-close image of this so-called explosion initially. A giant cloud of polyvinyl chloride and a ton of other bad chemicals being pumped into the atmosphere in the middle of the U.S. with the news blackout on this. Fish, chickens, and other animals near Palestine drop dead following train derailment. So now animals in the area are all dying. Ohio's Mahoning Valley will be toxic for many years to come. Crisis. Of biblical proportions. But the media has nothing to say about it. Not even a notice. We have here, Enviro Terror in Ohio as toxic gas cloud unleashed when authorities set fire to vinyl chloride to disperse it over skies, farms, and rivers. So initially it was thought to be an explosion. But come to find out, no, this wasn't an explosion. This was a detonation. Right? The train derailed and these train cars were set on fire and detonated. Story being told at the time was, well, we had to contain it because if we don't contain it and explode it, then it could at some point become combustible and explode on its own and shoot shrapnel everywhere. So their solution was to blow it up and to blow all this toxic gas, if you want to call it gas, these toxic chemicals. This was their solution, to blow it up and to send all this out into the heavens where it would then come down in the form of rain. It would go into the ground and spread into the ground, into the aquifers, into the wells, water wells. The reason why it's called Enviro Terror. This is a terrorist attack. Okay, this is a terrorist attack. And again, being deemed by many as the biggest ecological disaster in the U.S., in U.S.'s history. It says here, if you want to control chemicals, you don't set them on fire in an open field and disperse the byproducts of combustion into the sky. That's not a controlled burn. That's setting off a chemical gas bomb. Okay, this was a chemical gas bomb. No different than if somebody came in and dropped a nuclear bomb in your neighborhood. What this is equivalent of. It's just another way of doing it without getting as much attention to it. All right. Let's keep going here. But the interesting thing with this, here's a did you know. There's a 2022 movie called White Noise. And it's about a town that dies from chemicals released in the air from a train crash. And oh yeah, the place this movie was filmed was in East Palestine, Ohio, the same place that we were told that a train derailed and exploded. How coincidental that the year before, these catastrophes are just, the year before they happen, it's just somehow they're able to just, I don't know. I mean, you tell me. They run an event 201 simulations, and then the following year, it's the COVID pandemic. They're doing movies on East Palestine about a train derailment and it blowing up and chemicals and people dying out. And then the next year it happens. Right? See, only those who are in the stupor are not going to be able to put two and two together here and what's going on. But this is not, these are not just random events. So here we have the white noise poster for the movie. You have the train explosion over here, the town here, everybody and their mama trying to get out of town to escape the death now that's been unleashed in this town. Here we have Ohio catastrophe is wake-up call to dangers of deadly train derailments. The next derailment could be cataclysmic if action isn't taken after the incident near the Ohio-Pennsylvania border, experts say. So you notice how they always say the next one, the next pandemic, the next derailment. It's never, well, this, you know, we'll make sure that this doesn't happen again. It's always, well, no, the next one could be worse, could be cataclysmic, already prepping you for the next event. Notice how they, this is the same news that likes to talk about fear-mongering by those who maybe are looking at things from a biblical prophetic standpoint, or they want to call you conspiracy theorists. So are they not, is the U.S. news not conspiracy theorists to talk about a next derailment? Like, how do we know there's going to be a next one? That sounds very conspiracy theoretical on your part. Right? So here is the IMDb, and that's interesting. I went to the IMDb of this particular movie. Right, let's check out the trailer real quick. And it's interesting when you read the actual description for this movie. It says, dramatizes a contemporary American family's attempts to deal with the mundane conflicts of everyday life while grappling with the universal mysteries of love, death, and the possibility of happiness in an uncertain world. Nothing about a train explosion. They make it seem like, oh, you know, it's like if you were to read that, you would never think that this happens in this movie. All right? Well, let's watch the trailer. Let's see what the trailer shows us here. And I find it very interesting that we're dealing with this chemical, you know, toxic event. And in the movie, they're talking about gum and how this gum can cause what? That stuff causes cancer in laboratory animals. In case you haven't noticed, okay? And then she says, well, it's either I chew this or I smoke, which both causes cancer. So this movie's already talking about things that give us cancer. All this, right, what you see on the shelf behind her, all this stuff causes cancer. All right, and I know people eat this stuff, but understand the body was never meant to eat this stuff. It's not food. It's poison. So yeah, you may be able to eat it and be fine, but you may not be fine. Or it may, over time, cause illness. So it's funny, again, on a smaller level, them showing you cancer leading up to the big event, the crane derailment explosion that's about to cause a bunch of cancer. Very, very interesting. It's something that stood out to me. They're calling it the airborne toxic event. A year before it happened. Hazmat suits. People living in tents. Displaced from their home. Living in RVs. Quarantine. There are two different types of people in the world, killers and dyers, the haves and the have-nots. White Noise. Very, very interesting title also. All right. So this is how the month got kicked off at the same time of doing our broadcast of 2023, the year of the polycrisis. We are beginning with this individual crisis. But this, I mean, only this one, right? I mean, there possibly couldn't be more that have happened since we last spoke. Or could there? We have here in Cleveland, Ohio, more than a dozen injured, one killed in explosion at metal manufacturing facility near Bedford. So, you know, not too long after this so-called train derailment, we have an explosion in Bedford, Ohio, at a metal manufacturing facility. Right? Let's see here. We have a news piece on this. Of course, the explosion is yet to be determined. It is under investigation as to what has caused the explosion. The largest fire he's ever had to handle. So don't let one person dying fool anybody here, as if it's insignificant that only one person died. Okay, this was a huge explosion. But there couldn't be more. I mean, Ohio can't have this much happening in this short span of time. Could there? Then, within, you know, same time span, you had another train derail in Delphos, taking out power poles along the tracks. And Delphos is in Ohio. All right. Now, of course, this one only took out power poles, but the fact we're seeing is another train derailment, all within the matter of 1 to 2 weeks. A building exploding, all in the matter of 1 to 2 weeks, all in the same state, these, you know, catastrophes. So let's check out a video here. Right, we're seeing three events happening within 1 to 2 weeks of gigantic proportions. We have a video here. Something strange is happening in Ohio. So he said, at least they weren't in Don't Look Up. Now, that's funny because I was just speaking about these UFOs and people being distracted by looking up in the sky versus what's going on the ground. And they're all just joking about it. Like, look at them all just joking and having such a great time in the midst of this gigantic ecological disaster, cracking jokes. At least they weren't in Don't Look Up. Interesting. So the train was on fire on the rails for 20 minutes before it derailed, allegedly. And you mean to tell me there's no safety mechanisms in place for this type of situation when a train, its wheels are on fire so that there is no derailment to slam the emergency brakes on. No, you just keep going for 20 miles. Right? Something stinks here, and it's not the vinyl chloride. Right? Okay, so something strange is happening in Ohio. Now, is there anything, possibly there couldn't be anything strange happening anywhere else, any other state. But this happening, I mean, you would think that this particular event would be a once-in-a-lifetime event that you have to worry about dealing with. But again, all in the same time frame, February 14th, right? All within the same 1 to 2 week span of February. Texas train derailment occurs just days after Ohio disaster. Now, this one possibly couldn't be holding any chemical weapons. I mean, chemical contaminants, possibly. Let's see. Officials fearing a massive explosion that would release noxious gases. So here we have it happening now in Houston in the same week. And another intentional, right, detonation. They intentionally breached 5 cars to let out the chemicals inside. The question I have, right, is, well, I have a few questions. Because these chemicals are obviously very, very toxic. What would be the possible reason to have these chemicals to ever exist in life, right? That's my first question. If these chemicals are that toxic, they should never exist for instances as these. There has to be something, there has to be a different solution for whatever it is you're trying to do. It doesn't involve these type of chemicals being created. Secondly, what is the protocol in an event of an emergency to where, we'll just say a train derailment happens? What is the protocol to handle that safely and make sure that it doesn't become a health problem? Is breaching, detonating, exploding it or detonating it and causing an explosion and leaching out the chemicals into the air, is that the safe way to handle these type of scenarios? I mean, it's just, these are the questions. I don't know if anyone else is asking these questions that are dealing with these in their neighborhoods. These are the questions I'd be asking. Because it just seems, if not intentional, totally reckless, to say the least. Then, just like in East Palestine, initiated a controlled burn of other substances, released them into the atmosphere. More black smoke going into the skies. And this happened in Ohio on February 6th. So about a week apart, this happens. Look at the sky. From here, you have all this now in the sky. phosgene, which can cause vomiting and breathing problems. Now, one thing that people are going to notice is that a lot of the same issues that they say COVID-19 causes, these particular chemicals, when you come in contact with them, cause the same type of problems. And this was used as a chemical weapon in World War One. This same chemical. So emphatically, I can conclude, now let everyone else come to their own conclusion, that this is biological and chemical warfare being unleashed right now in a way that doesn't seem like warfare. All right, we can't fly the plane over the neighborhoods and drop a bomb. Let's put it in a train, supposedly. I don't know if it was in a train or not. I don't know if it's a train. That's what they're telling us. All I see is black smoke going up in the sky. Right? And we'll detonate it in the middle of their town. And no one will say anything about it being full-fledged warfare. We'll just say it was an accident. Perfect strategy to wage chemical and biological warfare on people. And then they told people in Ohio after, a couple of days, you can go back home now. We didn't find any toxic levels above safe limits. Right? We didn't find anything. You can go home now. Where have we heard that before? It's funny that during COVID-19, we were told not to go outside because COVID's out there and they can get you. But when this happens, this event like this happens, it's, oh, well, you can go outside. It's fine outside. Right? We're going to see a lot of these instances to where one thing is being told on us on one hand and on the other hand, something else is being told to us that only those in the stupor would fall for and say, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, we can go outside now. Or no, we can't go outside because COVID's outside. Some residents have reportedly complained of headaches and nausea. We'll talk more about that later as well. Pets dying, right? Pets dropping dead. And they're telling you, pets die all the time. Just like people just drop dead, healthy athletes in their prime, they just drop dead all the time. Train derailments, they happen all the time. Chemical explosions from train derailments, it's not uncommon. This is the reality that they're selling us. Chemicals continue to be released, meaning it's not stopping. It's like a volcano that's constantly going. As if it couldn't get any worse for Houston, they showed some of Ohio in there too, okay? Texas train derailment occurs just days after Ohio disaster. Okay. But let's continue to show this Ohio-Houston connection. It doesn't stop there for the chemical pollution in Houston. Guess where they're taking the wastewater from Ohio? Guess where they're taking it to? Toxic wastewater used to extinguish fire from Ohio train derailment headed to Texas. You don't say. Couldn't possibly be Houston. Toxic wastewater used to extinguish a fire following a train derailment in Ohio is headed to a Houston suburb for disposal. And more we look into this, the more and more sinister it becomes. That this is engineered, manufactured, and orchestrated. right? We talked about the depopulation last broadcast, about the poly crisis. We said, listen, all of what we're showing you and talking about, all these agendas and these things that they're talking about, it all leads to depopulation. From here on out, remember, slaying of great ones, many falling by death. That's what we're seeing from here on out. Lots and lots of people dying, one from one way or the other. But it doesn't just stop in Houston. It doesn't just stop in Texas. We go over to the West Coast. Within the same week, you have a truck loaded with hazardous materials overturned in Tucson. Arizona hazmat situation declared. Now, there is a train chemical train derailment that I haven't even brought out that happened in South Carolina the same week. But I was at the time where you had the one in Ohio, the one in Houston, and the one in Carolina. I said, you know what? They've had one happening in the north, in the south, and the east. I was talking to my family, and I said, watch, you're going to find one happening on the West Coast next. And I kid you not, within 1 to 2 hours, I caught wind of this happening, no pun intended, on the West Coast, within 1 to 2 hours of me saying that. And, you know, they can't make it too obvious because you've had a lot of train derailments. Let's make it happen in a truck. Still the same outcome, but we won't say it's a train this time. It'll just be a truck. And it's another hazmat suit. So that's another thing we have to get used to. Since 2020, we've seen a lot of hazmat suits. Well, one way or the other, it's hazmat suit season. Let's check out this one that happened in Arizona. Excuse the language. It's not my video, but I'm just trying to show you all what's going on here. Look at this, train derailment and toxic gas, chemical gas coming out the back end, just going all into the atmosphere and into the environment, okay, conveniently laying on its side. I mean, how did this happen? Did the trucker fall asleep at the wheel and end up in the median in the middle of the road, you know, conveniently? So that it couldn't be cleaned up on the road. It's harder to get to if it's in a position like this. I don't see any, you would think that there would be like some sort of like tire marks from it, you know, something along here that would show it to have fallen off into the ditch. Tire marks or some type of markings. I mean, I don't know, maybe even on the other side, but again, from the north to the south to the east to the west. Right? The wicked shall do wickedly and not understand, but the wise shall understand the times. It doesn't stop there. Let's now go over to Oklahoma. Same week, Oklahoma tank fire sparks yet another chemical incident. And it's one thing to happen in a year, but to all happen in a week, they couldn't make it more obvious, could they? A chemical fire in a storage tank in an Oklahoma port has become the latest in a series of incidents across the U.S. in a matter of days. The port was evacuated in a shelter-in-place order given to nearby residents. Where have we heard that before? Shelter-in-place. Are we starting to see a theme of similar, you know, mandates and orders being given from 2020 in each year, no matter what the disaster or catastrophe, event, crisis? It's always the same types of solutions. Shelter in place, Wear your mask. Don't go outside. Show something here. It says the incidents come less. Hold on. It says the suspected chemical fire in Oklahoma came just a day after a truck hauling 2,000 pounds of nitric oxide, a toxic substance that can be lethal if inhaled, crashed on Interstate 10 southeast of Tucson, Arizona. So here we see some more of this nitric, all these chemicals being very similar in the byproduct and what they create as far as a toxin. Footage from the scene showed the upturned cargo truck spewing out bright orange fumes that led to the evacuation of a half-mile radius and deployment of hazmat fire crews. The incidents come less than 2 weeks after a train derailment on the border of Ohio and Pennsylvania on February 3rd. This product, a toxic release of chemicals into the air and surrounding environment of vinyl chloride. Residents of East Palestine were evacuated so emergency responders could undertake a controlled burn of the vinyl chloride in five rail cars to avoid a massive explosion. However, it released the toxic gases, hydrogen chloride and phosgene, into the air. Phosgene being the same chemical that was said to have come from the train derailment in Houston. So another thing that we're seeing in common is all the similar type of chemicals or producing the same type of byproducts from one event to the next. So there has to be something with these particular chemicals that they're purposefully putting out into our environment because they're going to get a desired result from these particular types of toxins. Okay. Does it stop there? Unfortunately, it doesn't. Natural news, EPA orders residents to stay indoors following massive fire at renewable energy plant in Doral, Florida. I'm just giving you all a few of the disasters. There's too many right now for us to go through and that are happening. Okay? But here's Florida. Here we see shelter in place, once again. In a waste-to-energy facility. So they're dealing with waste, trying to turn it into energy. So imagine that waste burning toxic plumes. People near Doral plant with pre-existing conditions are at risk. Where have you heard that before? Pre-existing conditions. All right, so that's Florida. Now, there's a common theme that we're seeing here in all these events. We're seeing big, dark, black plumes going into our skies. I want to show you all something else here. We talked about how all this is leading to depopulation. You wouldn't believe, maybe you would, the Illuminati card game, they have a depopulation card. You may not believe, what this card has on it. The Illuminati card game, depopulation card, has a big black plume of smoke over cities, over a city, in the shape of a skull. Population reduction is the goal. Now, maybe those who live in Houston can say maybe this is a view of downtown Houston with these buildings. I'm not familiar with the buildings of downtown Houston and what they look like. or maybe any of the other cities we've named. Maybe this is what your downtown looks like, to kind of tie even more into this. But it says here, too many people making too many problems and not enough love to go around. Okay. So they have a depopulation or a population reduction card with black plume in the shape of a skull. It says, however, if you can destroy five huge places without recourse to World War III, you may claim victory on that basis alone. So this is a way how you can avoid World War III and mass sacrifice of people in a global war. Just having a nuclear bomb, I mean, a chemical bomb in way of a train derailment or a truck spill. And you can get the same desired result that you would get in population reduction in a global war. We have the seers of Babylon. What do they say about all this? Chemical disasters will keep happening. Chemical disasters will keep happening. Well, they told us at Davos, this was the year of the poly crisis, and they told us in 2022 that the word of the year was poly crisis. So, and I told people, when they tell you who they are and what they're going to do, it's best to take them for their word. Have another video here. Something strange is happening in America. So now let's get kind of an overview of these events happening, these crises of many, or poly crises that seem to be now becoming a permacrisis, becoming permanent, or crises that they say, remember, they can't be solved. They can only be managed, meaning this. When you find out what these chemicals are, you can't just get rid of these chemicals. So there's no solution. It can only be managed. They also have something else called forever chemicals that they've now been getting lawsuits on certain companies who are putting these chemicals in food now, called forever chemicals, right? So that's pretty much what these chemicals are. These aren't something that just go away. They stay in the environment for a lifetime. But let's check this out. Something strange is happening in America. And then we're going to go outside of America to show you that there's also a blackout on another event, a media blackout, of same depopulation type scale that's not being spoken of. Remember, 2022, we talked about all the food processing plants, the places where food would be distributed from. There were 100, 200, all happening within 1 year of just going up in flames. That was last year. Fast forward to 2023. So Ohio is said to have the best farmland in the country, and this land has been totally now polluted and contaminated with toxic chemicals. Of course, every single time there is an event or a disaster, the gates of hell always is in place with the solution. So he has his water filtering purification company that now can clean your water from their toxic bombs that they're dropping on your neighborhood. Now, we're going to talk about these DNA mutations here in a moment. And she brings up an interesting point that I have been thinking of also. That these DNA mutations are probably more so from the COVID-19 vaccine. So what do these events also, all the different, synonymous connections now are there between these events happening and what happened with the vaccine rollout and those who took the vaccine? Almost like we're seeing the demolition of the United States play out before us, right? Babylon the Great is fallen. Okay, America's being dismantled. Remember, the ten horns shall hate the whore, make her naked, desolate, and eat her flesh. So they're giving all this money. All this money now to Ukraine and to Europe, to the Ten Horns, billions upon billions of dollars in military weaponry, all the while they're imploding things within Babylon. Right? And there's more. Another video. Polycrisis, it's coming. Listen as this woman breaks down how the government elites are killing us. So we have someone else who has caught wind of their agenda, their terminology of polycrisis. And how the government is trying to kill us all. So she has a map here of circles of different events that have happened within the past couple of weeks. Orange. Yellow, toxic event, or birds, orange are toxic accidents, purple are UFO shootings, dark blue, flooding, light blue, earthquakes, and then the X's are where UFOs have been shot down. All this stuff happening in the U.S. right now. And she said, it's like they're bordering us and closing us in, right? And I'm going to bring up a map here in a moment. I'm going to show you all something. But this is the reason why it led me to believe when I was, at the time, you had the one up north in Ohio, Houston, and Carolina. I said, well, it only makes sense for them to now have one on the West Coast. And then they had the one in Arizona. So in the same sense, she's also identifying how they're hitting all around, and as she said, it's like they're closing us in or displacing us. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. So she has the word up there, polycrisis. All right. Mm. They need to cover up the vaccine effects. So this was something that came to my mind, was also, think about, this is the year that they said that the vaccine trial ends, March of 2023. So would it not make more sense to then just start these natural disasters and have them take people out? And they can always blame the natural disasters when it's indeed the COVID-19 vaccine is causing the die-off. They need a scapegoat. And so from one event to the next, you'll forget about the original event. You'll forget that COVID-19 started the death campaign. And now by the time people start dying from other, you know, along the timeline, they can always blame it on something else. Well, you know that train derailment in Ohio happened, or that hazmat suit situation in Arizona happened. You see how it's just easier to these people, you know, get sick and die, and they can just say it's from that versus the scorpion sting. I'm going to show this more later as well as we continue through these disasters. We have Revelations chapter 12, verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. So she just said that right now they're just going to burn the whole thing down. That's where we're at. Destroy everything and everybody. So this is the devil having great wrath in a short time. One second here, I'm just trying to find something. One moment. Right, so now let me pull this up and show you all something. How many of you all are familiar with this map? This map came out in the early 2000s. I remember seeing it way back in the early 2000s. And, you know, a lot of times whenever going to sleep or waking up in the morning times, I sit in meditation, I sit in prayer, and I stuff comes to me. And one thing that came to me was I was thinking about these events, and this map came back to my mind, and it was like clear that I totally understand, like just certain revelations started coming. Like, for instance, okay, you have the chemical attacks that are happening right now in different areas. So what that does is that pollutes a particular part of land or region. And now you have to now move into another region to survive, to escape the plague of poison that's happening in that region. What this is simulated reserve and corridor system to protect diversity. As mandated by the Convention on Biological Diversity, the Wildlands Project, UN, and U.S. Man and Biosphere Program, and various UN, U.S. Heritage Programs, and NAFTA. So this came out early 2000s, and when I seen it, I believed that it to be true, but it was kind of not maybe as easy to see how they would go about doing this. Basically, what they're saying, this was part of the UN Agenda 21 when it came out with the UN Agenda 21. And that they were going to make America into a country to where there would only be certain places that are habitable, meaning you're only going to be able to live in certain parts. Other parts are going to be uninhabitable for whatever reason. So when I'm thinking about these chemical attacks, I'm thinking like, okay, I can see now how they're going to usher people into the cities now, into the grid and out of the farmland. And this isn't necessarily a knock on anybody who has their own land and looking to get outside the country. By all means, continue to do that. But understand that how they're going to attack us for those that are doing that, they're going to attack us in these manners where they have these so-called train derailments or truck overturns or whatever chemical disaster happened in and around our land. To where now the whole land is polluted to where we can't even live on our own land because the water is polluted, the air is polluted, the ground is polluted. So now you must flee from there and they're in hopes of them getting you to flee into their livable pockets. So when you look at this map, only the little spots in black are going to be the livable pockets. Everything else, for one, you know, it has the reasons why they're unsustainable or unlivable. All the other colors you can't live in for one reason or the other. Only the little bitty black dots are livable places. And so what that's going to do, it's going to force everybody on grid. More of a way to force people on grid because they'll say the cities are safe when they won't be. That's where the mark of the beast will be. That's where all the other atrocities will be happening, will be in the cities. But they'll make you believe, come into the city, we have our facilities, which you got the FEMA camps and all that. Come on in, it's safe here. We'll provide you a place of refuge while they're poisoning and destroying and doing whatever else for the rest of the land to where you can't live on it. Okay, all this leading up to America being hit by an earthquake that's going to break it into three pieces. You get all the nuclear reactors on fault lines, which is going to make the land even more uninhabitable. And then to top it off with the cherry on top, the nuclear bombs coming in to finish off America. So as the scripture says, it shall never be inhabited again. America is going to be a toxic wasteland. Okay, toxic wasteland, forever burning, forever spewing out chemicals, toxic gases and radiation. Now, the next broadcast we have, I'm going to look to talk about this map and more about UN Agenda 21. Because it was initially titled UN Agenda 21, right? They then switched it to Agenda 2030. As we got to about 2015, 2016, they switched it from UN Agenda 21 to Agenda 2030 because we were so close to 2020 and what was about to happen. They had to change the name up to make it seem like, you know, well, we moved away from that because people were catching on that Agenda 21 was population control way back in the early 2000s. People identified, like, well, this is population control. So they had to move away from that time period being that we were getting closer to 2020. And now that we've gone through 2020, we understand now what they were saying when they said Agenda 21. This is what they were planning on the whole time was the COVID-19 vaccines and all the other things that would come from the lockdown, right? That would lead to depopulation. And then move the needle to 2030 where they have another goal. 2020 starts the big step towards the depopulation. And by 2030, they want to have the population down to a certain number. By 2025, they want to have the population down to a certain number. So these are like increments for them. 2025 is the halfway point of the decade. Okay, so I'm gonna look to do that the next broadcast. Go into this diversity map, UN Agenda 21, as well as Agenda 2030, and break these things down that I remember studying over a decade ago. Agenda 21, and then they just totally got rid of it. You never heard them say anything about Agenda 21. You can't even hardly find anything on Agenda 21 anymore. They pretty much scrubbed the internet of it. Okay, but I do remember this map. This map was even hard to find. They didn't almost scrub the internet of this map. Okay, but it's all starting to make sense now. Now that we're going through it, like I can see it clearly of what they were showing us back then that, you know, no one seen what they did in 2020 happening in that way. Okay, now that these chemical attacks are happening, wasn't quite seeing it happening that way. That's going to actually displace us off of our land and try to usher us into the city. So I have a couple of scriptures here I want to read. I want to go to Matthew 10, because we have to be careful whether we're living in a house or we have just bought land, not to get attached, because you can put so much time and effort into it and you can find yourself attached. And when the time comes, not getting out of there. So when we go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 23, it tells us, "But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye should not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come." All right, we're going to have to flee time and time again to safety. Plague comes into a city, military comes into a city, famine, whatever, zombies, whatever. Flee into the next city for safety. 2 Andrew 16 and 40 tells us what? "O my people, hear my word. Make ye ready to thy battle." We are in a war. "And in those evils, be even as pilgrims upon the earth." So what is a pilgrim? A pilgrim is fleeing from one city to the next. Pretty much a nomad, a wanderer, a person without a home. They're fleeing from one place to the next. They have a lot of apocalyptic movies out, TV shows. I know one of the latest ones people are talking about, The Last of Us, they're showing it to us. All right, that's how we're going to have to live. You're not going to be able to just post up on your land and kick back and relax. It's there for a time. All right, because at any moment, it could be the next chemical, biological, eco-disaster, eco-terrorism that comes through to your neighborhood that causes you to have to get up out of Dodge and go someplace else to survive. All right, so I wanted to share that, and now I want to pivot outside of America. We're going to come back, but I now want to pivot to see how many people have heard about what is going on in New Zealand. I actually have someone that I know that lives in New Zealand, and they've been sharing this information with me. So the same way you have a blackout in America about what's going on right now with these events, you have a blackout for what's happening right now in New Zealand. Cyclone Gabriel. Fears cyclone death toll will rise as bodies seen floating in water. So at the same time this chemical attack is happening in America, these derailments and these crashes, these detonations, it's the same time this cyclone hit New Zealand. The week before this, what did you have? You had a earthquake, two earthquakes, over 7.0 hit Turkey. All right, and just real quick on Turkey, just within the past few days, you had another earthquake or a aftershock happen, a 6 point something in Turkey. And so this is another natural disaster of biblical proportions that isn't being talked about. It's made to look like it's no big deal. But this is a big deal. I've talked to this person frequently, and they're telling me all kind of horror that's happening in New Zealand right now. All right, so there was a cyclone that came through and hit. New Zealand is an island. It's a pretty big island. I'm going to show you all some images, too. Okay, so you see flooded cities here, flooded neighborhoods from the cyclone. You know, people's homes underwater. And then after the cyclone hit, within a week, you had an earthquake hit off the coast of New Zealand. And typically, whenever we see crazy weather events, it's always synonymous with earthquakes. They go hand in hand. Either the earthquake comes first and then the crazy weather, or the crazy weather and then the earthquake, because we know HAARP is working and HAARP can cause earthquakes. Right? All that water. This is just after it had stopped. Now, I want to show you all, because at first it was, well, not that many people are dead, but they had, the parts of the country were so destroyed, they didn't have a chance to really get out and look, right? We're going to get into that in a moment. And we're seeing is more death. So here are some of the images from this event, after the aftermath. Pause this here. All right, man, I guess this is in New Zealand too, a tornado over the water. Like this is not that these things don't happen, but all this happening there is very bizarre. Earthquakes, tornadoes, cyclones. This is weather warfare. This is some of the aftermath images of destroyed homes, boats in the, you know, all thrown in the yard from the sea. Cars, homes destroyed. Power lines down, right? No electricity, energy crisis. All right, these are just some of the images of how these areas look now. And as you can tell, these are more rural areas. So the cities, the big cities are mainly the ones that are still intact. So the rural outskirt farmland areas are being attacked and displacing people and trying to get them to come into the cities. And then the big corporations will come in and move in and take over these farmlands. And we know what they're going to be setting shop up for when they move in. Okay. Let's check this out here. This is the actual some media from New Zealand. Let's check this out. More train tracks, right? Interesting. The caption here says, why are we getting different stories from mainstream media compared to what the locals are saying? So the mainstream media, again, is reporting one thing. The locals are saying something different. All the while, this is pretty much a media blackout where no one even knows it's happened and is going on right now. And it happened the same week that the chemical attacks happened in America. So, and then they're saying, where are all the bodies? There's people missing. Right? There are people missing. Well, here on the Daily Telegraph, it says, I've seen hundreds dead. Rescue helicopter pilot So the media is telling you they only have 9 reports of dead people, but this helicopter pilot is flying around and seeing dead people everywhere. A rescue helicopter pilot operating in the Hawks Bay says he has seen hundreds of dead bodies which have yet to be recovered. He told our contact the rivers and flooded areas were littered with bodies floating in the water and that these were New Zealand's darkest days. See, this is being blacked out right now. This isn't even being reported in New Zealand, let alone anywhere else in the world. They're trying to suppress this information of what's really going on. Oh, yeah, there's not really anybody dead. There's only a few people dead. There's only a few people missing. Okay? But this helicopter pilot is saying this is this country's darkest days. I've seen hundreds of dead bodies. Thousands are still unaccounted for. Okay, lots and lots going on here, and it's hush hush. I want to show you all a video clip real quick on this. It says a bit surreal, incredible family reunion in cut off Dartmoor following Cyclone Gabriel. This is, we know Gabriel is an archangel, so they named this. This cyclone after Angel, right? Here is New Zealand news. Let's hear that again. They should be in full harvest right now. So again, not only is it destroying lives, it's destroying crops, people's livelihood, ability to survive. Four hectares, I don't know what the conversion is between acres and hectares, but a lot of land. $800,000 worth of crops for this family down the drain from this disaster. So he said he's dealt with many floods before, but nothing like this. Nothing like this type of water and debris before. This is something never seen before for them. Five hectares of pristine vine crops, 16 years in the making, gone. But guess what? It's okay. Bill Gates, he has a solution. He has his wonder meat, his bug meat. Okay? All the stuff he's making on his farmland is intact for you to eat. Okay? Same way how he has the medicine for you when the COVID boogeyman shows up, he has the food for you when these events happen too. And in the midst of the disaster, the desolation, how lucky they are to be left to pick the pieces up of the desolation. So in all of this, your reward is to be lucky to be here to deal with all that for those that survived this, to try to now survive the aftermath. So that's the million-dollar question. Where did all this debris come from, and why is it just all on my property? All right? That's what he was saying. All this debris, he'd never seen it before. Where did all this stuff come from? It's like it came out of a portal and just totally just consumed their property of just trash and debris. Right? And again, if I didn't know the person I know that lives in New Zealand, I wouldn't know this is going on. Total media blackout on this, you know, what they're calling New Zealand's darkest days. So what else is going on in the world that we're not being told happening right now on these types of levels. They've already had a media blackout on all the events happening in America, the chemical attacks. They want you focused on balloons and UFOs in the skies that they're telling you that they're shooting down. Okay? That's what they want you focused on. And what ensues in these type of scenarios when these things happen? Armed offenders, police manhunt in Moreira, South Napier. So what happens now is people get opportunistic or desperate in these type of scenarios. And so now crime ensues. It becomes purge season for the criminals. They're looking to take advantage of those who are down and out. It says here, a manhunt is underway after armed police swooped in Napier last night, forcing cyclone-devastated residents to stay indoors. So again, shelter in place. I don't know if there's an actual armed gunman on the loose or not. It could be. But what I'm seeing is this continued theme of sheltering in place. Stay inside. It's dangerous outside. There's boogeymen out there. Now, these things we know are to happen because the scriptures talk about it. But it's just this continued theme. And that they never can get to it, so they never can find the boogeyman or get the boogeyman. The boogeyman is so squirmy. He's so elusive, that thing, COVID boogeyman and ISIS boogeyman. All right. The climate change boogeyman, they're just so elusive. Remember, the permacrisis is these crises won't be able to be solved. They'll only be able to be managed. There's no solution to the crisis. All the while they're telling us, oh, yeah, if you do this, if you do that, we'll be able to fix climate change and we'll be able to get rid of the pandemic. So which one is it? Is there a solution or there's not a solution? Well, we've seen the results of their so-called solution or solutions. We've seen the results. And it's not a good track record by saying that to the least. It's not a good track record. But nonetheless, these things happen now because it talks about the commotions, the chaos, and the confusion in the 12 parts that Baruch spoke about. And it wouldn't be right for the largest chicken distributor in America's warehouse to catch on fire with hundreds of thousands of hens die. It would be right if that only happened in America, but it would only be right if fire at New Zealand's largest egg farm kills 75,000 hens amid national shortage. So this happened right before the cyclone. So they're also dealing with a shortage of eggs, chicken. The latest major food supplier to go up in flames after decades of food suppliers not going up in flames is New Zealand's largest egg producer. After a blaze broke out on Monday, killing around 75,000 hens. So they announced to us bird flu, and we must kill the chickens. Well, we don't panic and buy into the hype. Not enough people buy into it. So they just say, well, you know what? We'll just take matters into our own hands, destroy the largest egg supplier, burn it down. One way or the other, they're going to get their results, whether by your participation or if they have to actually, you know, go out of their way to do what they really want you to do for them. So this also happening in New Zealand. So we're starting to see a lot of similarities from country to country. These just, you know, unfortunate coincidences, right? That are hush-hush. No one's talking about it. These disasters. One thing else that I remembered in the midst of all this, right before all this happened, how many of y'all saw this? Jacinda Ardern resigns as Prime Minister of New Zealand. Labor leader to stand down no later than February 7th, saying she no longer had enough in the tank to do the job. So right at the time of the egg supplier fire, right before this cyclone bomb hits, the Prime Minister of New Zealand steps down. And so we can go back to what the young lady was saying in the video we showed earlier about the poly crisis, how now that everybody's taken the vaccine, they need a way to get rid of bodies in a way that it won't be as suspicious and linked to the vaccine. Because if anybody is familiar with this particular woman, she had some of the most stringent and strictest mandates in place for her country during the lockdown. Vaccine mandate. It was a police state. And so now that probably so many people in New Zealand had to go out and, well, they didn't have to, but they were told they had to go out and get vaccinated, it would only make sense now to bring in disasters to wipe people out, to get rid of some of the dead bodies now, instead of them just dropping dead and people trying to explain how a healthy 20-year-old just drops dead suddenly. You see, same thing happening in the U.S. These disasters are coming in, and you can now have a new scapegoat. So it takes the needle or the eye off the COVID vaccine scapegoat or perpetrator and give a scapegoat to it. Let's listen to this sorceress on her way out of office. She just can't do it anymore. She no longer has enough in the tank after she did a total draconian, dystopic, terrorizing and mandating of her citizens to get vaccinated. And she gets out of Dodge right before these events happen. Boo-hoo-hoo, right? Come on with the tattoo, with the crocodile tears. How convenient. Step down in the middle of the term. And I was checking this out when I seen her step down and wondering, I wonder what that's all about. Now, after the events that have transpired in New Zealand in recent past couple of weeks, I now understand. So I wanted to share that with people. A lot of you probably weren't aware of what was going on in New Zealand. Another disaster of biblical proportions. People trying to survive. Situation. How many more are happening in the world right now? But just as the controllers, the engineers and manufacturers of all this told us, this would be the year of the poly crisis and perma crisis. And we see the Illuminati card game here, card combined disasters, multiple disasters happening all at once, everywhere, all the time. Now let's head back to good old Babylon. Good old Babylon. And we talked about the predictive programming, how you had 2022, a movie come out, White Noise, where in East Palestine, a train derailed, blew up, chemical, biological disaster, and now everybody's running for their lives. A year later, it happens in the same city in the exact same way. How many of you all saw this? East Palestine launched My ID emergency service to surveil locals' biometrics data just 1 week before train derailment. How many of y'all were aware of this? A week before this happened, they were looking to get their bracelets out, My ID emergency bracelets out, to measure people's biometric data in an event just a week before it happens. Exactly 1 week before, a Norfolk Southern freight train carrying noxious cancer-causing chemicals derailed and subsequently exploded in a controlled release, residents of East Palestine, Ohio, were told to sign up for a My ID tracking device from the local fire department. An announcement from the East Palestine Fire Department explained that MyID provides an easy method to provide valuable medical information to first responders in the event of an emergency. And that this is an added service of the fire department. Convenient. More convenience. More coincidence. So when we start seeing things like these in movies that come out a year in advance and show us what happens, and this happening a week before it happens, are we wrong to say that these things are well planned out events? Are we wrong, or are we just conspiracy theorists? Is this all just coincidental conspiracy? And now, how many people will be ready to get in line to get their My ID bracelet from this event? And some key notes is that when it comes to this white noise movie, I think someone in the chat put up that they spent $100 million on the movie and only made $79,000 off the movie. Well, one thing about Hollywood, a lot of movies take losses because for them, it's not necessarily about making money. It's about getting desired programming out. So a lot of these movies aren't there for just entertainment or for making a profit. They're there for programming, right? So they'll spend that money and eat that money as a loss so that they get desired lesser magic predictive programming out. And then also a lot of people from East Palestine were actually actors in the movie. So I wonder how those people feel now, that they were actually props, pawns in that movie, and now their city is uninhabitable, their area. Speaking of predictive programming, we have a video here. Let's check it out. And real quick, in the movie White Noise, there is a semi truck that actually hits the train that derails it. And notice this truck is carrying something too. Now I wonder if this is the same truck that crashed in Arizona, right? Or maybe the same bed of nitric oxide. Right, probably the same license tag of that truck that crashed in Arizona. I just seen that. I'm like, okay, that's interesting. That here goes your transport nitric oxide truck from Arizona crashing into this train derailment. All right, leave it to Hollywood to put that in there.